Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
So as soon as Andrew walked in, he said, did you pay your taxes? And I said, but all I had to do was file. They want my money too? Hey, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lockwood.
Okay, so what's on tap?
Well, you know, a funny thing happened on the way to tax day this year.
All right.
We actually had some software glitches and software errors, and the IRS website being down and people were not able to get their returns accepted by the Internal Revenue Service.
Now, I knew about the software, the computer being down. You said something else that just caught my attention. Software errors?
Well, just software errors as far as not being able to accept the returns. Yeah. Right. So the e-filing system was basically down for the morning of the 17th.
Now, it's interesting because in some instances, the federal government wants you, and in some corporations are forced to file electronically.
That's right.
So what do you do when you can't get through?
Well, the IRS solved the problem, quote unquote, by extending taxes one day. So all of our procrastinators out there got one extra day. So as long as you filed by yesterday, April 18th, and got your payments in, you're going to be just fine with regards to the deadline. It's kind of a crazy thing. You know, you started seeing reports coming out in the morning about people not being able to get their taxes filed. In Lockwood, they estimate about 5 million Americans file on the last day of the filing season. So, you know, here you are with 5 million people trying to get their returns in, and they're getting these messages saying, not accepted, not getting the proper acceptance. And then sure enough, the service decides, hey, look, we recognize these problems, and we'll give you another day. And that's exactly what happened.
All the more reason why it probably pays to use the post office and get that return receipt requested.
Well, that was the other interesting thing was they didn't come out and say, well, hey, look, if you can't e-file it, go ahead and get it put in the mail. And I think you're right. I think, you know, in all honesty, they like people to e-file. It makes it easier on them with regards to getting the information in the system. So that way they can compare. Remember, you get a W-2, you get 1099, the service gets the W-2, gets the 1099, and it's a lot easier for them when you e-file for those numbers to automatically go in the computer where they can start comparing the information they have versus the information you've input.
And I'm not one of those people that's overly concerned about making it easy for IRS.
I can't imagine that, Lockwood.
I can't either.
Well, it's never too early to start thinking about next year's filing season.
As a matter of fact, with the pain of this year, doggone right, I'm already thinking about next year.
And so what I wanted to do this morning, Lockwood, was just go over kind of briefly some of the new changes with regards to the tax law, specifically just some of the deductions that have been limited or taken away. Now, remember, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act was passed. It begins January 1st, 2018, so we're currently in the new tax system. And so I wanted our listeners to be aware of certain changes regarding itemized deductions. Now, remember, the plan here was to increase the standard deduction up to $12,000 for a single filer, increase for married filing jointly up to $24,000. So they're trying to put people in a posture where they're not going to be itemizing their deductions as much. But still, there's going to be a lot of our listeners out there who, you know, make significant charitable contributions, and have other items, which we'll kind of go through, that will, you know, make them file the Schedule A and go ahead and itemize their deductions. But I think it's important to kind of look and see, you know, where we are, with regards to itemized deductions at the present time. And one of the first ones of note is state and local taxes and property taxes. Now, bear in mind, these were unlimited. There was no cap on these state and local taxes and property taxes. Now, Lockwood, people that itemize their deductions are going to be looking at a $10,000 cap on both a combined property taxes and state and local taxes. So just bear in mind, if you have those or you're used to taking those, you're now going to be limited to a $10,000 cap on those particular items.
And that, by the way, plays a big role in some of your high property tax states like California.
That's right.
And they're very upset about that.
I know. Well, remember, they were trying to completely do away with it. And then there was a little compromise there at the end and said, we'll give you $10,000.
All right.
But that's the way that it broke down. So just be aware of that cap.
Okay.
Mortgage interest deduction.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting one. This one is now lowered from loans of $1 million down to $750,000. So we're down $250,000 of what interest is going to be deductible. And this is where things got a little bit interesting during the process, Lockwood, because typically individuals would, you know, everybody knew acquisition indebtedness. When you go and you get that mortgage to buy that home, any interest associated with that loan up to $1 million was going to be deductible.
Right.
And if you went and got a home equity line on that property, any interest associated with the home equity line was going to be deductible. Then enter the new tax law, and we're now making sure that those home equity line payments are used for improvements to the real property. That is the way they're going to be deductible. So, you know, an example would be you buy a house, $500,000. Eventually you take a $250,000 equity line on this particular property and you use that to make an addition to your home. The interest associated with that $250,000 equity line is going to be deductible. Okay. But let's say that you're Lockwood over here and you get $250,000 equity line. You go buy your Lamborghini.
Right.
Not going to be deductible.
How are they going to know?
Well, they probably won't. You know, that's the key here. Until you get that nice little letter in the mail saying, let's take a look at your return in more depth.
Okay.
And let's look at how you spent that money.
Okay.
Do you have some receipts associated with that home equity line in paying
and
your...
You're talking about an audit.
I'm talking about an audit.
Okay,
exactly right. So that's the classic answer is, well, how are they going to know? Well, I'm like, well, you're probably going to be okay. Unless...
You get an audit.
You get an audit. And then guess what? This rule comes into play and individuals need to be aware of it. The other thing I'll tell you is that there's an interesting example where I think our listeners need to be aware, which is let's say you have your primary home and you get a home equity line on that primary home to buy a second home, a vacation home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Then that interest that's associated with that home equity line to buy that second home is not going to be deductible under the current law. So a lot of people do that. A lot of people use the equity in their home to maybe purchase another home. Not going to be deductible if you're taking it under this system. Now let's say flip it a little bit and say you went and got a loan from a bank and you didn't take a home equity line on your primary home and you just went and got, went and got a loan from a bank to buy that second home. That's deductible. So it's one of those kind of nuances there where individuals have to be aware that whenever you're dealing with home equity lines and you're wondering, I wonder if this is deductible or not, you really need to look into the rules before you pull the trigger on that type of, you know, that type of loan.
All right. If in the case of buying the Lamborghini rather than putting it in my home, how'd you know? I'm deducting it and we get audited. Is there a penalty or do they just say, oh, sorry, you're going to owe some taxes?
Yeah. So what ends up happening there, Lockwood, is that they would say, okay, we're going to do away with the interest that you claimed itemizing. That is going to therefore increase your taxes that are going to be due. And then you will pay your percentage of interest and penalties associated with that increase in tax owed.
All right.
So that's the way that would work. If you unfortunately got that bad letter in the mail that you've been selected for an audit. The other interesting one that I really wanted to go through today is regarding deductibility of entertainment and meals. So I think there's a little bit of just people not knowing exactly how this is going to work under the new law. So let's just go through kind of the general rules. Our office holiday parties are, you know, team building events.
Mm-hmm.
They were previously 100% deductible and under the new law, we're lucky 100% deductible. So go have a good holiday party.
Have team building programs.
Go have some team building parties because guess what? You can still deduct. Entertaining clients.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you go buy that ticket to a show.
Right.
That was 50% deductible under the old law, 0% deductible under the new tax law. So just be aware of that. And then there's the one that I said, the gray, which is you go out with proposed clients or clients for a meal, or you go out with your business partners.
Right.
Old law, 50% deductible. New law, I'm going to put a question mark on it. Most accountants are going to believe the regulations are going to flush out that this is still going to be 50% deductible. But as of right now, the way the code is written, it looks like it's 0% deductible as far as taking clients out. Now, you know, this one's going to be a big one, and I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people pushing for these regulations to get written to say 50% deductible. So I think I will be able to tell you at some point that you'll be able to take 50% of those type of meals. But right now, we're just kind of up in the air a little bit.
I know we're coming to a close. And a real quick question for you, Andrew. And again, Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. I'll give you the phone number in a moment to reach out to him if you have any questions. We've got the new tax laws, but in some instances, we don't necessarily have conclusive understanding of the impact of those laws. And that we're waiting for, are we waiting for responses to questions to the IRS, or are we having to wait for possibly cases to be dealt with?
Both. I think the first thing we're looking for is regulations, which we're mentioning about this particular, you know, deductible expense. Our client meals 50% deductible. Uh-huh. We're waiting on a regulation for that, in all honesty. And then we'll also be waiting to see, you know, people are going to push the envelope on a lot of these issues, and that's going to involve court cases. And then we'll get some guidance that way as well.
Andrew Foster, again, of Harvell and Collins. Always appreciate the conversation. I listen to him every Thursday morning when I'm not doing the show. A local number if you want to reach out to him, 252-726-9050. That's 726-9050. Or go online and go to Harvell, H-A-R-V-E-L-L, and A-N-D, harvellandcollins.com. Or you can contact him at afoster@harvellandcollins.com.